From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Yes, I'm back behind the microphone today. Again, my thanks to Sarah Perry and Evan Fowler, who have been filling in for me this month while I've taken a little time off to focus on other projects. But coming up on this Monday edition is a truce on the horizon in the trade war with China. Could the escalating conflict in Hong Kong, along with Trump's willingness to increase tariffs on Chinese goods, have them crying uncle? We'll get the latest from Asian expert Gordon Chang. Also, driven primarily by those under the age 50, a new Wall Street Journal NBC poll reveals a significant shift in what values matter most to Americans. Family, faith, and patriotism, all on the decline. Should this be a surprise, and what does this tell us about America's future? Former Virginia Congressman Dave Brandt, now Dean of Liberty School of Business, joins us with analysis in just a bit. And nearly 200 CEOs of big business signed onto a statement from the Business Roundtable that redefines the purpose of a corporation. Now, without question, there is room for improvement in big business as they've been using their profits to push the left's anti-faith, anti-family agenda. But is this newfound sense of purpose a course correction or an acceleration? Dan Celia, president and CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship, is here a little later. And here is one for the nonsensical category. Snopes, the so-called fact-checking organization, is hot on the trail of the Babylon Bee, labeling it fake news. Now, Babylon Bee, for those that are not aware, is a satirical website that makes fun of both the left and the right. But apparently the left doesn't have a sense of humor. Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee, is here to explain. Coming up in October 10th through the 13th, the Values Voter Summit. If you'd like to find out more about how you can be a part of that, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right. The issue, the trade issue between China and the United States was obviously a big issue at the G7 meeting in France. But also it was a topic of conversation on the Sunday news shows. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham had this to say about the president's stand in trade talks with China.
Every Democrat and every Republican of note has said China cheats. The Democrats for years have been claiming that China should be stood up to. Now Trump is, and we just got to accept the pain that comes with standing up to China.
And it would appear that maybe the pain has been more intense for China, especially as of late Friday when the president increased the tariffs on Chinese goods, bringing them to the table. Joining me now with the latest is Gordon Chang, the author of Losing South Korea, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea's Take on the World and the Coming Collapse of China. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony.
So, Gordon, are we at a point where we may be seeing a truce in this trade war with China?
We could be close to that, Tony. I think that President Trump's actions on Friday, which attracted a fair amount of criticism, nonetheless worked. I think that they intimidated Beijing, and that's why we saw that comment from Le He, who is China's chief trade negotiator, that Beijing wanted calm negotiations. I think this is a signal that Beijing has been pushed around, intimidated by President Trump. And this is important because for decades, the Chinese have been pushing around American leaders. This is the first time I can think of where we've pushed them around. This is really, really good news for the United States.
I mean, Senator Graham's point, I mean, we shouldn't miss that, that to make gain, there can be some short-term pain. And I know a lot of people are screaming because there's potential impact. There's these threats of what this is going to do to the economy, pushes toward recession and so forth. But the long-term gain here could be quite significant.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that Senator Graham said that. You know, we've had decades, four decades of bad China policy. And of course, to remedy that, it's going to cause some pain to the United States. We've got to recognize that. China is stealing billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. intellectual property each year, somewhere between, say, $150 billion and $600 billion a year. That does not include the losses for China's trade violations toward the United States. and for all the other things that Beijing has been doing. So we're already suffering, and I think that the path that we are on is going to put us in a much better place. We've got to do this, Tony, or we're not going to have an economy of the future.
What does this do you think, going forward at the trade imbalance with China?
I think long term, we are going to have a more even trade balance with China. Part of this is factors that don't relate to China. The U.S. economy is very strong, and strong economies normally have pretty big trade deficits. But what we're seeing with Beijing is that there's a structural trade deficit due to Chinese predation, Chinese criminal theft of our IP. So once those are remedied, we're going to have a much better, much more balanced trade relationship with China. And that's going to be absolutely essential if we are going to have good relations with Beijing.
Now, does this also show the weaknesses within the Chinese economy, that they're having to move quickly to try to restore this trade because they just can't sustain the types of setbacks that America's economy can?
For sure. The Chinese economy right now is suffering from two things. First of all, Xi Jinping's state policies. He believes in a much bigger state sector, much smaller private one, and that has caused pain not only for foreign companies, American companies, but also for domestic Chinese private entrepreneurs. And the foreign sector and domestic entrepreneurs are where the growth for China has come over the last three or so decades. So there's that problem. But it's also there's a lack of confidence because of what President Trump has been doing in terms of the tariffs, in terms of trying to remedy the trade imbalance and the theft of U.S. IP. So those two things have caused a crumbling economy. It's not growing at the 6.3% pace that Beijing claimed for the first half of the year. It's probably around zero, maybe one up, maybe one down. We don't really know, but the point is China is in severe difficulty.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Gordon Chang, my guest, giving us an update on the trade war with China. We could be at a breaking point where we could see the two parties come back together. In fact, they say they're going to come back together. We could see a resolution. But Gordon, I want to get your thoughts on how the violence in Hong Kong over the weekend, the 12th consecutive weekend of protests, this being the most, fierce skirmish yet between protesters and police, the police bringing out water cannons, even firing shots in the air. Is this a factor in also bringing China to the table?
I think so. And the reason is China has three really huge crises at the same time. One of them is Hong Kong, one's the crumbling economy, and the third one is the trade war with the United States. In Hong Kong right now, there were two instances that I think have changed people's view of what's happening. One of them is that three policemen took their weapons out of their holsters. One of them fired a warning shot into the air. That one shot changed people's mentality in Hong Kong, where many people had been sort of blasé about what was happening. That shot, though, has, I think, caused and stunned many people. The other is the use by the young protesters of petrol bombs. And this is a warning not just to the Hong Kong police, but really to China, the People's Liberation Army, the People's Armed Police, because young protesters with petrol bombs could cause substantial casualties to the Chinese should they openly deploy on China's streets. So this was a marked turn for the worse. This came right after Friday's very good peaceful demonstration, the Hong Kong Way, 28 miles of a human chain. That was Hong Kong people and even humanity at its best.
So when you look at these three issues facing China, you've got the trade war with the United States, you've got Hong Kong, that situation escalating, and the crumbling economy. Probably the easiest thing for them to take off their plate would be the trade war with the United States.
Yes, the other two problems are intractable, and there are no solutions within the context of Xi Jinping's political system. Everyone knows that they can solve both their economy and Hong Kong pretty easily, but those solutions are completely unacceptable to the Chinese leadership right now. The trade war is the one thing that they can postpone and maybe even solve. But again, what Xi Jinping wants in terms of an economy is completely unacceptable to us because of certain factors such as China's theft of IP and their attempt to dominate technology in ways that violate their trade agreements to us and to others. So really, this is not something that we're driving, Tony, in terms of trade war. The Chinese have been trying to undermine our economy for decades. Xi Jinping has intensified this. And despite what people say about President Trump, all he's really doing is reacting to Xi Jinping's moves. And so right now, China is in a position where they may be able to solve many of these, but they don't want to. And so that is a warning to us.
In other words, we have a leader that's putting America first?
We have a leader who's putting America first, which is an important change because we've had leaders in the past for four decades that oftentimes put China first. And also by putting America first, President Trump is doing a lot to defend the international system. So it's not just American interests that are being benefited by his policies. It's people around the world. And that's a great thing. This is an important shift because we're starting to see leaders around the world follow in President Trump's wake. So it's American leadership and the world following to protect themselves.
Let me ask you this question regarding Hong Kong and the trade. If we're able to negotiate a settlement with China over the trade and they're able to resolve that issue, where does that put America when it comes to the resolution of this conflict in Hong Kong? Does that take us out of the picture or will we remain a factor in the outcome?
I think we remain a critical factor because there can't be a trade agreement and an enduring trade relationship if China is going to use force in Hong Kong in an open way. So even a trade agreement that has already been concluded is not going to last if China uses force. We remain a factor whatever happens.
All right. Very good. Gordon, always great to talk with you. And as this continues to unfold, we'll be checking in with you regularly. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Tony.
All right. Gordon Chang, Asian expert. It's very important stuff because China is such a huge factor globally and an abuser of human rights, too. Religious freedom, all of this. I mean, this is all intertwined. And so this is we really need to keep our eye on what's happening in China and Hong Kong. Very, very important. All right. Coming up next, corporate CEO signing on to agreement about repositioning priorities for corporate America. In fact, Breitbart last week led with the headline declaring CEOs will prioritize political and social goals alongside profits. What does that mean? Well, Dan Celia, President of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries, joins us next for that conversation. Don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch still to come on this Monday edition.
States like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C. And learn how you can, too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Are you looking for timely and honest coverage of the latest news? Do you find it difficult to sort out what is true and what is false from the media? Family Research Council is here to help. FRC President Tony Perkins' daily Washington Update email newsletter addresses the most important current events affecting religious freedom, the protection of life, marriage and family, and more, not only in Washington, but around the world. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from underreported stories about transgender activists' efforts to infiltrate our schools to updates on court cases fighting for religious freedom, parental rights, and the protection of life. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Learn more and subscribe by visiting frc.org/update. Again, that's frc.org/update.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, I've got a piece that was published at FoxNews.com over the weekend about the gun control debate and what really needs to happen if we want to address the source of the problem. You can read it. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Corporate leaders such as Amazon's Jeff Bezos, Apple's Tim Cook have signed on to a statement prepared by the Business Roundtable that revises a longstanding principle that corporations primarily exist to serve the interest of their shareholders. Now, also signing this, about a little over 180 other business leaders, including the CEOs of J.P. Morgan, Boeing, American Airlines, American Express, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a big shift. It's talking about more social responsibility. What does that mean? Joining me now to talk about this, nationally syndicated host and biblical investing authority, Dan Celia. He says this push towards social responsibility is a deceptive trend for corporations and increasingly stands in sharp contrast to biblical responsibility. Dan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, I appreciate you joining me. I know you do 3 hours of radio every day, heard over on over more than 650 stations, so that's a lot of radio to do. But I want to thank you for taking time out. I know you addressed this issue last week, but these corporations, when they're talking about more social responsibility, that should have Christians and conservatives concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Frankly, you should have all their stockholders concerned as well. I think it's very irresponsible, you know, to remove the top priority as being adding value to the bottom line. And it's one of the things that I've been railing against for a long time, Tony. You know, I think this is just incredibly irresponsible that these CEOs will take a look at socially responsible issues and put them before their responsibilities to stockholders. And, you know, I talked last week about Dick's Sporting Goods as a good example, who decided it's just not politically correct to be selling hunting gear and guns. And so they're removing what they have left out of 150 stores. Well, first of all, when you're in the retail business like you're in today, your job is to get people in your store. That's your number one goal and priority. And it's irresponsible to do anything different that is going to hurt that very thing and hurt stockholders. And I think it's just amazing, for the sake of their ideological slant and the ideological blinders that these CEOs have on and don't have the backbone to stand up to the left. So, you know, here's a situation, Tony, where not that particular Dick's, but we know right now we've got Planned Parenthood in a bind because they need money, you know, because they're losing some of their government money. What are they going to do? They're going to go to corporations, and corporations are going to take this on as a socially responsible thing to do to help Planned Parenthood continuing to murder babies. Is going to be a socially responsible thing to do because it's socially acceptable by so many. And that's what we're going to see more and more of.
With the profits that are derived from the business that we do with these companies.
Exactly. Exactly. And their profits are supposed to go back to either expand their businesses and do what they do better. That's their job, right, to bring value to the bottom line and the stockholder.
Let me stop you right there, Dan. Because there's in today's society where a large percentage of young people have bought into to socialism, there is this lack of understanding of the free market system and what one is supposed to do with what they've been entrusted with. In this case, shareholders. Let me use an example. In Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about the master giving to the various servants a certain amount of talents to be invested, the servants that are rewarded are not the ones that engage in some kind of socially responsible, politically correct activity. The ones he rewarded are the ones who bring a return on what they've been given.
Yes. And that's what we would expect to do as biblically responsible investors, to invest in companies that are working to do whatever it is they do, build bulldozers, flip hamburgers, or whatever it might be, and to do it with the full power and abilities of their employees and their leadership, not to get distracted by ideology to do what is politically or socially correct, which in many cases is going to be against the principles that we stand for, that you just outlined.
And Dan, there's a role here. If these corporate CEOs want to become activists with the profits derived from the business that they do with Americans, American consumers need to keep that in mind when they, A, do business with these companies, and B, as you pointed out, when they invest in these companies. So we need to make sure we're spending money, investing money in companies that actually do what they say they're going to do and stay out of the culture wars.
Exactly. And I, you know, when I talk to these CEOs, I tell them, look, I'm not asking you to support the right. I'm asking you not to support the left or the right. I'm asking you to do what you are supposed to be doing for your stockholders, for people that are investing in your company, and just be able to say no. And that is the problem. You know, I had a conversation with a big company, I won't mention the name, who now is back on my list. They changed, but it was involving the Boy Scouts some years ago, and I took them off my list. And before I had that conversation, I said, look, your CEO, they said to me, Dan, you have to understand, this is a very hot topic for our CEO. I said, I don't have a problem with that. He made $43 million last year and another $72 million in bonus do it with his own money. If he loves the agenda so much and he wants to support it, do it with his own money. Don't do it with my money because I'm a stockholder.
Exactly. Dan, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to have you on the program.
And Tony, just real quick, you can hear more about this at Value Voter Summit. I'll be speaking at the Timothy Breakfast at Value Voter Summit. There's a whole lot of good stuff there.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood was using taxpayer dollars to perform abortions? Recently, the Trump administration made changes to a healthcare policy called Title 10. The changes to this policy now eliminate the loopholes organizations like Planned Parenthood were using to receive taxpayer funding for abortions. Planned Parenthood was hiding behind terms like reproductive health care and services like cancer screenings and contraception distribution, while in reality, they were making money off of abortions. This shift in funding will benefit community health centers that provide needy families with family planning resources and health services, regardless of their ability to pay. It will also benefit pregnancy resource centers that provide care and free resources to women who may be experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. This policy decision is the right move to help and protect American lives. To learn more, visit frc.org/Title 10. That's frc.org/Title 10.
Hi, my name is Bailey. I am serving as an intern at Family Research Council, and it has been a life-changing experience. Interns join FRC's team of experts as they embark upon the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. The FRC internship is a 12 to 15 week program designed to educate and inspire university students who are passionate about public service and who believe that a biblical worldview is fundamental to the reformation of government and culture. As interns, we receive the opportunity to work alongside and be personally and professionally developed by FRC's team of experts. This paid internship offers free housing in the heart of DC, which allows us to be fully immersed in the fast-paced political climate and to build a community with other faithful conservatives in our nation's capital. For more information and to apply, visit frc.org/internships. That's frc.org/internships.
This is Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. To find out more about the Values Voters Summit that Dan Celia was talking about, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Dan got the last word in that last segment, but he will be at the Values Voters Summit, and I encourage you to be there as well to find out how you can be a part of it. Go to tonyperkins.com. The values that Americans say define the national character are changing. As younger generations rate patriotism, faith, and family as less important than did young people two decades ago. That's according to a new Wall Street Journal NBC survey. Now joining me now is Dr. Dave Bratt, Liberty University's Dean of School of Business and former Virginia Congressman. Dave, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be on. Thanks, Tony.
When I see this decline, considering what has been happening in our education system for the last 50 years, along with the leftward push of Hollywood, I'm actually surprised that the drop is not more precipitous, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think we're tracking on the same wavelength. And I just look at this latest Wall Street Journal polls over the last 20 years. And in that 20 years or so, I mean, you see the move from liberals, right? Democrats used to be liberals, to now this movement on the hard left. And so if you look back at like a JFK, you know, there wasn't any question back then about patriotism or religion or having children. The Kennedys, you know, the family was huge. The Catholic religion was huge. Patriotism, Kennedy ran on it. And so it's that shift from that liberal philosophy to this hard left deconstruction of getting rid of all American institutions. And then you see that in all the leading universities. And in K-12, we won't even teach love, which was the dominant virtue for 2,000 years in Western Civ. And so you're right. It's education, and it's sinking in, and now we're paying the price.
Yeah. You think 1962, 63, prayer kicked out of our schools, the Bible kicked out. And so in this survey, we see 61% cite patriotism as very important to them. That's down 9 percentage points from 1998. Religion, 50% cite religion. That's down 12 percentage points. And 43% placed a high value on having children. That's down 16 points from 1998. Now, clearly, as you say, the education, the culture influencing these young people. But one thing, and I'm not going to argue that this is not a sign of a downward trajectory. I mean, that's clear. But I will say this, and I think you can speak to this as well, Dave, that these polls, while they do show trends, they're also a snapshot. And when we look at young people, we know that they're not fixed in that ideology forever. Some of them actually mature and get a brain.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. If you look at some of it, you know, the willingness of young people to have kids, some of that could just be economics. And then on the, you know, the question of religion, it's interesting that if you see the Deloitte poll or the Wall Street Journal poll, they're fairly secular institutions themselves. So they might not be asking the right questions, like, what do you think about God? Not religion, but do you have faith in God and which God? And then, because that's the first principle among all of them. And on the family, similarly, the kids are experiencing high levels of anxiety and depression, et cetera. I wish these polls would get at that a little bit more, dig a little deeper into what drives meaning in their lives. But unfortunately, the pollsters, I don't think, understand the depth of the situation as well.
Good point. I mean, these words have definitions, and it's important to work with the right definitions. I will say, I'm troubled by this, but I'm actually encouraged to some degree that we still have this large of a segment of our society that sees the value of patriotism, that sees the importance of religion public in the public space, as well as the importance of the family. Yes, it's declining, but with all of the forces that have been pushing against it, it shows how resilient these elements are and how people understand how essential, even inherently, maybe not academically do they understand this, but inherently they understand that these are important elements to the American society.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that residual piece is still fairly strong, even in Europe, which is, you know, declined further than we have. If you go over there and get in a debate with someone over there, just, you know, without letting them know where you stand, they'll say, well, of course we care for the poor. And you ask the European, well, why do you care for the poor? And I say, are you a religious person? Are you Christian? No. You just know you ought to do that. I say, well, why ought you to do that? And they don't have a self-reflective awareness of where it's coming up. But the Judeo-Christian trajectory over 2,000 years is something that's strong. And so it's still enduring, but we're chipping away gradually. And so we still have enough to work with, and we just all have to get back at it, right? My Republican friends, sometimes we go back to the Declaration, the Constitution, all hugely important, and we go back to balanced budget amendments and term limits and think those are the most important pieces. But the Judeo-Christian tradition and the family, right, choosing the Jewish family overneath the Greek city-state, those were the key decisions that brought us all the rest of those first principles. Mm-hmm. And so it's time to get back to history. The Judeo-Christian tradition gave us, you know, Magna Carta and the Reformation, the Enlightenment, and everything we have, and James Madison, et cetera.
Dave, we're up against the break. Can you hold on? Because I want to ask you one more question, and that is, look, red flags, warning flags should be going off. It's not time to abandon ship, but it's time to take these warning signs seriously. And I want to talk about what we need to do as citizens, as parents. So we're going to talk about that next. Folks, don't go away. Dr. Dave Bratz, going to stay with us. We're going to continue this conversation. Then also going to be joining the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christians' call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and I would like to invite you to join my wife, LaWanna, and I, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, talking with Dr. Dave Bratt, former Virginia congressman, now dean of the Liberty School of Business, my alma mater. And talking about a poll that was conducted by Wall Street Journal, NBC News, showing that there is a significant shift in the values that matter most to Americans, a decline driven primarily by the younger generation of patriotism, the importance of religion, and having children. Now, Dave, we've talked about the importance of these things, the contributing factors. But, you know, I on this program, I don't like to just tell people a problem without giving them a solution. And
right.
Oftentimes we look and say, well, you know, I voted for this person. Let them fix it. We all have a part in working on this. This is important because this is the future of our freedom, our liberty, the future of this country that's at stake in this debate and this understanding. And we ought all have a part to play in it. You're there now at an institution of higher learning, which I'm very grateful for Liberty University because it's a huge part of my life in actually steering me toward government. I was in business and ended up in government as a result of the instruction I got at Liberty because Dr. Falwell required every student to take government classes. And so it was very instrumental
right.
in shaping my views. But what can parents do to counteract the forces at play in our public schools and in the broader culture?
Yeah, well, if you just look back at our founders and de Tocqueville and all the observers, the Christianity gave us basically the rough parameters for religion, for philosophy. Christianity founded Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Princeton, Yale. And the local school system was dictated by Christian. We got to get back to all that. The parents need to get back to the school board. If you got 3 out of 5 votes on a school board, you win. So we need to push back. The donors that are funding these liberal universities need to push back. And lastly, the millennials that we have in our families, get these young millennials. They're more tech savvy than all of us adults. Put them to work in the church on newsletters, writing op-eds, and getting their minds engaged. And they're leading the charge right now. The students at Liberty in IT and IS and cyber are just phenomenal. They have great minds, and we need to put them to work in the public square a little bit.
So you just said something that's extremely important for people to understand, because what has been happening, the long march through the institutions that has been taking place over the last 60 years, is to marginalize the role of faith in the public square. And what you just pointed out, you know it so well, you just rattled right through it, and I think some people may have missed it, that faith, religion, Christianity was a part of almost every major institution in our society, of higher learning, even going into healthcare. They founded the first hospitals. I mean, it is everywhere. And so while it has been reduced to a backbench position, it's time for Christians to reemerge with the authority of the historical context of religion in our society.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think you put your finger on a good sphere I missed, healthcare. It's a perfect example of anxiety, depression, what's gone wrong. Healthcare's gone run amok because you don't feel love and care anymore, right? You go into a doctor, it's all clinical. They're not treating the soul of the human being that's, of course, attached to the physical as well. And everybody, I think, knows this. And so Christianity wasn't just a part of anything. It was the entire thing. The motto at Harvard when it was founded was Christ for truth for Christ and church at Harvard. And what a turnaround, right? So we need to take these institutions back, and especially the local school boards. Yes. The parents are still in charge in all the red states. The liberals control education at the national level, to teachers' unions. See, that's a tough one.
Right.
But at the local level, we still have plenty of work to do, and the churches need to organize better.
And it can, as you pointed out, five members on a school board, you get three, and you can control the school board. And winning a school board race is, you know, I'm not going to say it doesn't take work, but it can be done with almost no money and just a commitment of time. And if you're working through a local church, I mean, you've got a campaign team right there. These things can be done.
Yep. Yeah, and in the church is the best economic model because you got the supply side, right? You got the firms and the CEOs in the church, and you got the poor folks or some folks who have been displaced by the economy that need a job. Right. Well, you got a labor market right there in the church, and then you put that to work with your K-12, and then you're a model for the whole country, right? If one local school district sticks out like a sore thumb, everyone in the country will copy it. And so that's what we got to do. We got to find that shining star and find that model that works on a Christian basis again, and boom, it'll take off like crazy.
As long as we have breath, we have hope. And
you got
there is hope. There is hope. Dave Bratt, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us, and give my best to all our friends on campus there at Liberty.
Will do. God bless you for all the work you do, Tony. Great.
All right. Thanks so much. Dave Bratt, great American. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, parents, if you're looking for a place for your children, your young adults to go to school, Liberty is a great institution. It's one of many, but it is a very, very good place for your children to seek higher learning. All right. How many of you are, and you're probably aware of Snopes, this fact-checking, and I have that in scare quotes, fact-checking organization. Well, and you may be familiar with the Babylon Bee. I get a kick out of some of the stuff that they have. My kids send it around to me, and we get a laugh out of, especially, honestly, in all candor, I laugh the most out of when they make fun of Christians and evangelicals, because it's hilarious. It really is. But the left doesn't think it's so funny when they poke fun at them. Now, it's a satirical website. I mean, it's all fun, and I like humor. Well, Snopes now wants to label them as fake news, as having false stories. And there's a lot more to this. It's not just because they're humor impaired. There's something much deeper. Joining me now to talk about this is Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. Kyle, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. This is a joke-free zone. Okay. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. What is behind Snopes wanting to label the Babylon Bee as fake news? What's going on here?
I mean, we can't be 100% sure because, obviously we don't know what their motives are, but it certainly seems ideologically driven. They've fact-checked us in the past, and they've fact-checked other satire sites, of course. Sometimes people mistake it for real news. But we made a joke.
That's a sad commentary on America. Because
it's more commentary on reality, being too close to satire than the other way around.
Well, it is, but it's also how I'm saying this in all sincerity, is that too many people have become accustomed to being spoon-fed by the media and have lost the ability to critically think. And that's a problem. But that should not keep the rest of us from being able to have a laugh at ourselves, even. I mean, you are an equal opportunity jabber, I would say, because you poke both the left and the right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an essential part of being a good satire side, is you've got to be able to make fun of yourself. You got to be able to make fun of the other side. You got to be able to do it in an honest and consistent way, and that's what we try to do. But, certain jokes, certain angles, the fact-checkers seem to take issue with.
Well, one in particular that got Facebook on your case was that this was, I guess, about a year ago, where you had run a headline that CNN had purchased an industrial wash machine to spin their news.
That's right. Yeah, I still don't know how many people were actually confused by that article. I still haven't seen one example of someone who actually thought that CNN was spinning news in their washing machine. But Snopes claims that they had people asking them. So Snopes flagged us as fake news. Facebook ran with their fact check and threatened, to deplatform and demonetize us based on that fact check that we were sharing fake news.
So this is an ongoing battle that you're in with Snopes. They're pushing to label you guys as liars or being fake, false information for the purpose of deplatforming, of keeping you from being circulated and passed on through these various social media websites. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's exactly what their goal is.
But that would be the outcome, right?
Well, here's the thing. Facebook doesn't use Snopes directly anymore for fact checks, but all of these social media sites are concerned about fake news, and they're all turning to people like Snopes, whether that's AP's fact checker, other fact checkers, PolitiFact, et cetera, and they're trying to find ways to flag purveyors of fake news. And if we get lumped into that category, yeah, we could definitely be looking at getting deplatformed from some of these big social media sites.
In here is where I think you're effective. Okay, I mean, I like to laugh. I really do. I like some of the stories. They're really good. They're funny, especially, again, when you poke fun at Christians and evangelicals. I think it's some of these things need to be laughed at. But in good satire, there's always an element of truth that causes introspection and ask questions. Now, it's always exaggerated. It's like cartoons or caricatures. But could it be that this is a little too close to what the left is doing, and when people see the how easy it is to poke fun at what they're doing, that exposes them, and that's what concerns them?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I definitely feel like some of these fact-checkers, especially Snopes, don't like that now the left is the target of satire, when for so long the left had a monopoly on being the ones who were doing comedy and satire. And now they're at the receiving end of it, as conservatives have been for years, and they don't seem to like that. They don't seem to like their ideas being put out there, because that's what satire does. It makes a stark contrast. It points out a logical conclusion. It reduces the argument, and they don't like that exposure, I think.
Yeah, and it also, it lays bare sometimes these crazy ideas that are put out there, again, on both sides. I don't mind laughing at myself when a good laugh is available. I think that's It's just part of life. It's good to have a little humor. What can or is there anything that that folks can do to be helpful to the Babylon Bee and what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, you can follow us on social media, as long as we're on there anyway, Facebook and Twitter. We do have subscription plans where people can sign up and support us financially, which has been a big help because we did have a lot of legal fees when we started putting Snopes on notice for this kind of stuff.
Well, I would encourage folks to do that. So we'll have a link up on our website for folks that they can find out more about how they can sign up and get not only get your information but be supportive of what the Babylon Bee is doing. Again, I think it's I think it's in good fun, but I also think that humor is a very effective tool in pointing out certain things. And I do think that that's the problem the left is having, is that the humor. And they set themselves up. I mean, you look at the Green Deal, you look at all these different things that they're doing, and it's so easy. They just set themselves up that it's like taking candy from a kid. And I just don't think they like that.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. Yeah, we make fun of the left a lot because the left has a lot of crazy ideas right now.
All right. Well, unfortunately, my friend, I don't think you're going to run out of material anytime soon because they're going to keep giving it to you. So, so Kyle, thanks so much for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right. Kyle Mann, who is the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. I'm telling you, some of this stuff that the left does is just unbelievable. But when you poke fun at them, I don't like that. Hey, there's several things, you know, just having been out the last couple of weeks, just coming in one day a week doing the radio, number of stories. I'm kind of picking through what I want to talk about. But very quickly, there was something caught my attention over the weekend, end of last week. A former pastor who was removed from his church for having sexual affairs left his church. Went to another church, had to resign that church because of revelation of yet another sexual affair. Anyway, starting a new church, I'm not going to mention names. That's not important here. That's not the principle. But he made this comment that all of these relationships were consensual and not an abuse of power. And I share that from a standpoint of I think we have lost an understanding of what leadership is. In biblical leadership in particular, John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus talks about this. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And I'm concerned about what I see in the ministry in some places today, where you have pastors, instead of giving their lives for the sheep, which is what leadership is about. It's about giving. It's not about taking. That there is abuse. And I think if you're in one of those churches, you need to sound the alarm on this. But I think we need to hold pastors, as Scripture does. James chapter 3 talks about not many of you should become teachers because there's a higher accountability. And I think we need to do a better job of the type of leadership we have in our churches and holding these pastors accountable. And when they go through these, I think, that, yes, there is grace and there's restoration, but it's a path. It's not instantaneous. Anyway, I just wanted to share that because with leadership comes a lot of responsibility. All right, folks, out of time. Until next time. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.